Welcome in to the Unnamed MMA Podcast. I'm Adam Abdallah. Along with me, as always, is Jordan Sherwood. Follow him on Twitter at WoodOnESPN1000. Get all of his picks, which have been great recently, at FatJackSports.com. 3 weeks in a row of winning? Is that correct?
Three weeks in a row. Yeah, let's go for four. Yeah. Four-peat.
Let's go for a four-peat here with UFC 308. Shout out to Shane Norling for filling in for me last week because I was, you know, in New York.
You were eating yourself well. And kudos to Shay.
Yeah, shout out to Shay.
Shay did a great job filling in.
Yeah.
You know, look, the fact that I think he's one of the hardest working men at ESPN Chicago. He's not the number one with the amount of podcasts and content he's putting out there. So thank you to Shay. He did not have an Abdallah prop of the night, so we got to coach him up a little bit on
that. That's unfortunate.
But he probably... I don't know. I mean, he liked my Darren Elkins play on submission, so that did not hit. So I think whatever play he would have had for a prop would have not cashed. So okay. We can go with that. Oh, Sumadirje. He would have went Sumadirje via knockout. That was 7-1. 7-1.
Okay. All right.
And Sumadirje lost. So
yeah, that did not hit.
Yes, exactly. But we're not going to count that against a streak or anything like that.
No.
And we need a report. So I think we followed you on Instagram. We saw the pizza tour, the sushi stops. Like, I think, okay, let's get a little recap. What did you have in New York? Some of the highlights. And then secondly, I need to know weight going into the trip, weight immediately stepping off the plane when you got back in Chicago. Because you went up two weight classes.
No, here's the thing. You don't gain any weight if you don't weigh yourself. Right? So, like, that's the move. Like,
this was what so you crazy went, person. You went pride rule. You went pride rule.
Yeah.
Open what, weight.
Yeah. What no. crazy person weighs themselves after coming back from a vacation? Plus, also, you're in New York. It's October. It's not like, I mean, we were, what do you call it, walking 90% of it. You know what I mean? So
you were walking off the slices.
Oh, yeah. Easily. I'm clocking in, you know, 30,000 steps a day. You know, walking up and down Manhattan. We did a day in Brooklyn, walking all over there. So yeah, that was that. The problem was we didn't have enough. I didn't go to as many pizza places as we wanted to. There was supposed to be more.
Really?
Oh, like, yeah. That,
like your entire like reel, like you know, it was like boom, yeah. boom, boom, pizza, 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 sushi. Pizza, 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 sushi.
Well, sushi was dinner, and so that's why we couldn't get as much pizza because my wife wanted to go back and like change and everything. And then we had to get to said sushi dinner because then we had plans at night to go to a couple shows. So like we couldn't just spend all day eating pizza. We had we had reservations to get to
that.
Yeah. And like we had to be on time for those reservations. So then we could get to our shows that started whether we were there or not, you know? So,
that's true. They're not going to hold up for the Abdallah.
No. Although they probably, one of the shows we went to, sitting three rows in front of us was Tom Hanks, his wife Rita Wilson, and Ron Howard.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
So they probably would have held the they probably would have held it the show for them.
For them, not for the two.
Not for us.
Two rows behind.
New York's awesome. If you need recommendations, add Adam A. Abdallah on Twitter. It's amazing. I talked about it on Carmen and Yurko and the different pizza places. And like I said, there was like three or four that we just didn't get to.
Yeah,
that I wanted
to. I just love
to
how you fully went Patty Pimblett.
Dude, I was eating. Like, there was no style. I was like, it wasn't like splitting a slice either. Like, I was like, this is my slice of
pizza.
You're
going hard.
Like, this is, yeah. If we're doing this, we're doing it.
Yeah.
It was great, though.
Good. Well, you deserve it. I'm happy you got out for a little bit, and now back to reality.
Yeah, let's get back to it. This is a great card, too. This is UFC 308 is not going to disappoint. I feel like this is going to be pretty good here. And you don't like that this main card kicks off at 1:15 p.m. Central.
Yeah, I'm salty. I'm salty that it's in
Abu
middle
Dhabi.
Of the day of Saturday.
It's in Abu Dhabi, correct?
Yeah, it is in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
You know, look, I totally get that. They got to appease the home crowds and stuff like that. And a lot of times they don't. A lot of times, you know, when they are in England or they're in Australia, they're still appeasing the North American audience. I just wish for this particular card, the fact that we've got Topuria versus Max Holloway, the fact that we still, even though, you know, look, it hasn't happened yet, but we still have Khamzat Chimaev scheduled to fight.
I know, right?
you know, we still have Magomed Ankalaev scheduled to fight.
Yeah.
Look, I love my daughter. But I've got a soccer commitment. I got to be there.
That's fair.
To support Zoe and support Jess. You know, Jess is the coach of the team. So
that's fair.
Not going to be watching the fights. That's not going to be ordering the fights.
Listen, I'm not ordering the fights regardless because I'm not paying for it. But
right.
Okay. Tell me if I'm wrong. Okay.
Yeah.
And because I think I know these people. And by these people, I mean the Arabs, right? I'm Arab. I think I know these people. I think that for hosting this event, they might have been willing to give the UFC more money than England was to be like, hey, have this on our time. You know? Like, let's do this on our time. And Dana White was like, okay, sure, why not?
Yeah, well, look, I think I can relate it to when the WWE, which now owned by the same company, TKO, like goes and puts on a show, you know, in that section of the world as well. And they're like, yeah, you know, whatever's going on, like storyline wise, like Monday Night Raw, you know?
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, you know what? I want Bill Goldberg to fight for the title.
Exactly.
Like,
like, I have a feeling that enough palms are greased.
Right. And here's a bag of cash.
Yeah. They can do whatever they want to.
Exactly. So I'm totally fine with that. It's just that, like, again, it's this particular card. This card is awesome.
Yeah, it is.
You know, five fight main card is great.
Yeah.
I'm not as in love with the prelims. You know, it's a lot of guys that haven't really made a statement yet or, you know, fledgling a little bit. But bottom line is, you know, these five fights that are on the main card are very, very good, if not great. And I'm excited to see what happens.
Absolutely. All right, let's get into these fights. Our main card opens up with Shara Magomedov against Armin Petrosian. Petrosian, a plus 136 underdog here. Magomedov minus 170 on the money line as the favorite. Magomedov is 14-0 overall. He had a unanimous decision win over Michael Olajeshuk last time out. And Petrosian has gone 3-2 through his first five UFC starts. Last time, he was submitted by Rodolfo Vieira. So this should be an interesting one. Petrosian, the underdog, right around plus 135.
Yeah, and interesting, too, because these guys are former training partners or have sparred together. They've talked about it openly leading into this fight. We're going to get a kickboxing match. Neither guy really, you know, has in their arsenal a grappling background or a need maybe to take this fight to the ground. I think both of these guys want to prove who the better striker is. I think if you compare the two, Petrosian probably more of like, you know, a tactical striker, you know, a guy that'll probably utilize a little bit of a reach advantage. But Bullet, you know, Magomedov is flashy, more so on kind of the Muay Thai, more probably head kicks and body kicks, where Petrosian is going to probably utilize leg kicks. So, look, I think stylistically, because we're doing that, I like Bullet Magomedov. You know, I think that, you know, he has a favorable matchup here, a guy that he's not going to have to worry about, that's going to take the fight to the ground. And really, we haven't even seen that tested yet, but that would be my first question mark. Especially when you're talking about a guy that's competing in the middleweight division that has the Hamzat Chimaevs, that has the Robert Whittakers, that has the Dragos Duplessis that can work in grappling amongst their outstanding striking. But I think favorable matchup, and I do not hate Magomedov on the money line at $1.70. I think Armin Petrosian is good, but he's not top 10 good, and I do believe Magomedov is top 10 good.
All right, should we throw him into the parlay?
Yeah, you definitely throw
it. All right, Shara Magomedov is in the parlay at minus 170. Method of victory, Magomedov by points, plus 145. Petrosian by points, plus 230. Magomedov by knockout, plus 350. Petrosian by knockout, plus 700.
Yeah, I think that if you want to add a little bit of spice to it, you do it via points. I understand that Magomedov, you know, does have some flashiness, has some knockouts to him. But because, again, we're talking about Petrosian, who is also from that kickboxing, striking background, only been knocked out once, in his mixed martial arts career. And, that was, several years ago. And he's been in there with Gregory Rodriguez and Christian Leroy Duncan and didn't get knocked out there. So I think via points is certainly a safe play if you want to add a little bit more to Magomedov.
All right, our next fight, Magomed Ankalaev, minus 385, a heavy favorite against Alexander Rakic. He is plus 290 on the money line. This one in the light heavyweight division could be a future title contender, whoever wins this fight. Is that going
to
be?
Yeah, I mean, look, the storyline going into this fight is Magomedov Ankalaev kind of got screwed out of a championship fight that went to Khalil Rountree Jr. The last time out when, Alexander Pereira, defended the championship. But Ankalaev, has been disciplined, so to speak, from Dana White for having a couple of boring and lackluster fights. And the Jan Blachowicz fight, I think, still holds true to this day that, look, a split draw, Dana White was pissed and gave the title shot to Jamahal Hill, instead. And look, Ankalaev has always been the uncrowned champion of the light heavyweight division. He's got an outstanding, sambo background, great combination of striking and wrestling. And it was always thought at some point, he's going to win the championship at 205 pounds. And look, he should be unbeaten in the UFC, but Paul Craig, the Bitter Jew, threw up a miraculous submission win in Ankalaev's UFC debut. But since that point, he's basically been untouched and gone through, everybody that he's needed to. The problem is for him is that, he had the blemish against Jan Blachowicz and then the no contest with Johnny Walker. So he had to wait, a few more months to get that win back, and he did. And now he takes on Alexander Rogic, who, another guy too, like Abdallah, that like was thought potentially to be a champion, and a guy that very good kickboxer, very good style, size for the division, athleticism for the division, can work in wrestling. And yeah, he stumbled a little bit with a loss to Volkan Oezdemir, but he won against Thiago Santos and Anthony Smith, and he had that unbelievable step in head kick knockout of Jimmy Manoa several years ago. But then, he busts up his knee, has to sit out for 2 years, and gets stopped by Jiří Procházka the last time that we saw him. We actually were cashed in on Jiří Procházka. If you remember that, he was a slight favorite, was Rogic against Jiří. So this fight, Magomed, huge favorite, rightly so. I think that the odds certainly make sense, but I'm not going to play it at those odds. I just can't trust Ankalaev, and I think Rogic is an uber talented light heavyweight, so I'm gonna need to do something creative here if I want to play Ankalaev or really any fighter in this fight.
Yeah, especially you look at method of victory here, even Ankalaev by points -105, so you're getting better value but not great value, and then Ankalaev by knockout at +250, Rogic by knockout at +650, Rogic by points at +700, and then the submissions are not going to happen.
I think if we're getting an inside the distance, like a stoppage, like we're getting we're getting Magomed Ankalaev or Rogic inside the distance.
Okay.
But look, I think Ankalaev is going to win the fight. I think he's going to find a way to do it, win more rounds, score more points, maybe get in some takedowns. But just at where it is, and even the method of victory, I'm not comfortable with, because look, the dialogue could be that Alexander Rogic knows he has to really go in there and showcase what he can do to earn a title shot, force the UFC's hand. But we've heard that storyline from him before. Mm-hmm. So, I'll say this: you can put Ankalaev into our parlay. I think he does win the fight, but I'm not going to make any recommended play on this one.
All right, our next fight here. The odds have kind of moved. They haven't shifted, but they've moved in the favorite's favor here. You've got Dan Ige was +195 earlier in this week, and now he's +235. He's facing Leroy Murphy at -300 right now, was -260. Murphy is 6-0-1 inside the octagon, a 14-0-1 mark overall. Outworked Edson Barboza over five rounds to get that, win by points there. And then you've got Dan Ige, who fought on 4 hours' notice, ended up losing that fight. But still, props to him in June for jumping into a fight with Diego Lopez and fighting on 4 hours' notice.
Yeah, and arguably won the third round, of that fight. Dan Ige is a fun fighter. He's got, really solid boxing, good power, good cardio for the featherweight division. I just think he kind of lacks the talent to be in there and go in there and, fight for a championship. I mean, look at his losses. Calvin Kattar, the Korean Zombie, Josh Emmett, Muzvar Evilov, Bryce Mitchell, and Diego Lopez. Like, those are guys that either have fought for the championship, and Diego Lopez likely fighting for the championship. And oh, by the way, Diego Lopez is in Abu Dhabi as the backup for the main event. So, you know, obviously that speaks volumes to him. And he's beating everybody else. I mean, Dan Ige is a difficult matchup, good body, you know, works the body as well from his boxing standpoint. It's just that, like, you know, it's a bad matchup, I think, for against Laron Murphy. And look, I still think, like, we don't know much about Laron Murphy. He's just been an inconsistent fighter. The schedule hasn't allowed him to compete as probably frequently as he has been. And look, he's just like, he's Leon Edwards, kind of like 2.0, like a boring kickboxer from England. Like, you know, like there's nothing like we like about him, you know? Yeah. Doesn't have that personality. And look, he's gone in there and he's done the right things. He beat Edson Barboza over five rounds and showcased good kickboxing and then the pressure game and takedowns. But like, you know, he hasn't fought anybody in the top 15, top 10, arguably of the featherweight division. Now he gets his chance. He's a big time favorite. But as much as many cappers are on Laron Murphy and say like this is a matchup and this type of fight that like Dan Ige doesn't win, I can't side with it. So for me, I think that Dan Ige, you know, always shows up for a fight, fights hard. I think it's a half a unit play on Dan Ige as the underdog against Laron Murphy. I totally get the matchup stylistically. It's a tough one for Dan Ige. These are the type of fights that he certainly loses. But Laron Murphy, and even if he wins like three rounds and like 30-27, all three judges' scorecards, I'm still going to have questions about Laron Murphy because he just beat Dan Ige. Like,
yeah,
you know, he needs to go in there and beat like a top five featherweight for me to believe in it.
Yeah. No, I know what you're saying. If you look at the method of victory here, Laron Murphy by points, minus 135. Ige by points, plus 420. Murphy by knockout, plus 450. Ige by knockout plus 850, and then submissions are like 20-1 and 22-1.
Yeah, I mean, Laron Murphy does have some good striking defense, and you know that's how Dan Ige hurts people, gets them in the phone booth and lands something. He carries some tremendous power, but probably Murphy via decision is the right play.
All right, Murphy by points at minus 135. Our next fight, assuming it happens, Robert Whittaker plus, I love saying that, assuming it happens. Robert Whittaker plus 198, almost plus 200 right now for Robert Whittaker against Khamzat Chimaev at minus 250. Whittaker, you know, he's got losses against Dricus du Plessis and Israel Adesanya, and that's it. Yeah, You've got Chimaev, who has fought four times in the last 4 years because he's got health issues, he can't stay healthy, and hopefully this fight takes place. Question mark, but he's minus 250 on the money line to win. He's a heavy favorite.
So I think when you look at it, yeah, both fights have to be handicapped very similar fashion. So, yeah, you're right. Like, is the fight going to happen? We still don't even know if Khamzat Chimaev is going to make the weight and then make the walk to the octagon. He's looked good. He's said all the right things. He's healthy. He looks full and intact during fight week, but look at the dude's resume. Look at his resume. And look, I'm not poo-pooing a victory over Kamaru Usman, who in my mind is one of the greatest welterweights of all time.
Yeah.
And Gilbert Burns. Obviously, Kevin Holland is a great fighter as well. But those dudes and the Leech are all welterweights. They're all of them. I mean, yes, Kamaru Usman fought at middleweight, but the fight was on like 4 days' notice, and Kamaru Usman fought up a weight that he normally doesn't. And Kamaru Usman likely like won the third round. This is a five-round fight against a former two-time champion in the middleweight division in the Reaper Robert Whittaker. That, again, as you alluded to, his only losses are to the current UFC middleweight champion of the world and the former two-time UFC middleweight champion of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he has good takedown defense. He's got a great chin. So, like, I understand, like, Khamzat Chimaev is a beast, and he's probably a beast for, like, a round and a half. If he does not get Robert Whittaker out of there early, It's going to be a long night for Hamza Chimaev.
Well, yeah, the fight is minus 430 to not go the distance. So they believe that this is going to end, and you've got Chimaev by knockout at plus 180, Chimaev by submission at plus 270, Whitaker by knockout at plus 380, Whitaker by points at plus 600, Chimaev by points at plus 650, and then Whitaker by submission at 31-1.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think we're going to see Whitaker win a fight via submission over Hamza Chimaev. But what I do believe is that he's going to be able to keep the fight standing long enough, you know, maybe succumb to a takedown or two, because Chimaev is relentless when it comes to takedowns. He likes to string them together and try and work it down. But I think eventually Robert Whitaker might be able to wear a little bit on Chimaev and utilize his championship medal to get his hand raised at the end.
All right, so I guess no play on that one then. What are we? Are we not nothing in the parlay? Nothing like that.
I gotta say that my recommendation is a small play on Robert Whitaker.
Ooh,
I think like the combination
half unit.
Yeah, I mean, I think the combination of like, look, Chimaev is a beast, and he was also identified really early on, just like Magomed and Kolayev. I was like, a guy that's going to win the championship, maybe win it at multiple different weight classes. But
yeah,
dude really has to prove it. And like, he had a 10-8 round against Gilbert Burns, and likely had a 10-8 round against Kamaru Usman, but didn't finish either guy, and then wound up in a firefight against both those guys. And I think we could see the same, but it'd be a lot harder going five rounds with Robert Whitaker.
All right, our main event, the featherweight championship. This should be a great one. Ilya Topuria minus 245 against Max Holloway plus 195. Topuria won the belt in February after a second round knockout of Alexander Volkanovski, who just hasn't been the same since being knocked out, what, two fights ago, something like that. Topuria now 7-0 in the UFC, 15-0 overall. And the last time we saw Max Holloway, it was for the BMF title against Justin Gaethje, which was an amazing fight where they were in the middle of the ring. He calls him to the middle of the ring, and they just start throwing absolute haymakers at each other. And Holloway wins the last second of that fight. It was awesome, a great fight. But this should be an amazing, amazing, regardless of the odds. I don't care what the odds are. This should be a great fight.
Yeah, it should. Look, and I'm so happy that Max Holloway is going to get another opportunity to claim featherweight gold. He's won three fights in a row, has looked outstanding doing it, especially the victory over Justin Gaethje. The cardio that he carries into every fight is a weapon. His striking acumen is a weapon. His championship medal is a weapon. The fact that he's never been knocked out, and he's been in there with the Gaethjes. He's been in there with Volkanovski, Yair Rodriguez. These killers, Dustin Poirier, these finishers, never been knocked out. Eventually, something happens where, you know, time and age, it goes off. But you know, in all these wars that Max Holloway's been in, you think it's happening. It's going to happen at some point. The dude's only 32 years of age, but against a guy like Ilya Topuria, who carries unbelievable power, and a guy who, as you just alluded to, knocked out Alexander Volkanovski, went up in weight and knocked out Jay Herbert, a good striker in the lightweight division. So he obviously can carry power in two different weight classes. And Topuria seems to be special. He seems to be identified as a special talent. I just wonder if, like, is his path to victory landing something and doing something to Max Holloway that's never been done before, or is he going to rely on takedowns and try and, you know, work that portion, but then rely on cardio and rely on something that, like, Max Holloway just does so brilliantly and does so extremely well. And I think, can he handle the championship rounds? Can he handle the pace, the pressure that Max Holloway is going to bring? I think, obviously, the odds indicate that many believe Ilya Topuria is going to win this fight. And a lot of people believe that this power Max Holloway is not going to be able to handle. I'm not on that side. Mm. I think we got to understand and be proven that Ilya Topuria is this special and Max Holloway is done. I mean, again, he didn't get knocked out by Justin Gaethje. Justin Gaethje is unbelievable power. So until I get proven that, My side's going to be against not like a fat check play or a full recommendation, but probably a half unit on Max Holloway, just because I need to be proving it. And look, maybe proving it is knocking out Alexander Volkanovski in the first round, because Alexander Volkanovski is an outstanding featherweight. But I think you're right. He wasn't right with the head kick knockout, too quick of a turnaround against the Islam Makhachev fight. So This will be my proving ground for Ilya Topuria to prove to me that he is one of the best.
All right, our method of victory, Topuria by knockout is plus 195, Topuria by points plus 280, Holloway by points plus 420, and Topuria by submission plus 550, Holloway by knockout plus 550.
I think that the Topuria knockout is certainly something to consider. Again, he's got knockout power, very good knockout power, but again, it's never happened to Max Holloway. So I think there is no method of victory. It's either dog or pass on this one.
See, Jordan.
But the over is also speaking to me. The over at 4.5 is plus money. And I think, like, we could see, like, Max Holloway do what Max Holloway does, you know, go into championship rounds, force people to really prove that they are a champion. But Ilya Topuria shines. He shows that he's got metal. He can go five rounds. He could win rounds. He's probably going to win rounds based on damage, you know, landing a significant strike. So if you think that he can't finish Max Holloway and you want Ilya Topuria, I think the over at 4.5 is probably your best bet.
Okay. All right. So over 4.5 there. See, Jordan, not only have I considered Ilya Topuria by knockout, but Ilya Topuria by knockout is my prop of the night.
Wow, all right.
It's my prop of the night. I'm coming back with a banger. I think that, I mean, he knocked out Volkanovski. Now, you can say what you want to, like you said about Volkanovski not being right, the quick turnaround, whatever. The dude's got power. Like, the dude knocks people out. And it's not a quick turnaround or anything like that, but you're right. Like, the fights have to eventually wear on Max Holloway. And I think that he's not old. He's not anything like that. He's not talking about some 40-year-old coming into the ring. It's just what I've seen from Topuria so far is that when he lands one, he lands them.
Yeah.
And so I think he lands it. Because, like, we saw, especially in towards the end of that fight with Gaethje, like, they were just swinging, and Holloway was just letting everything land. Like, there wasn't a lot of defense being played at the end of that fight. And if Topuria lands one, I think it's over.
Yeah. So, he's got unbelievable power. We saw it against Volk. We saw it against Herbert. We saw it against Hall. We saw it against Jackson. Like, he puts people to sleep. So wouldn't surprise me if Holloway's head fell off.
So I'm going Topuria by knockout plus 195 is my prop of the night. Our plays here, Shahrzad Magomedov, Moneyline minus 170. He's in our parlay. And then half units, just a half unit, small little play. Small little play to get you through the college football Saturday before those night games happen. Dan Ige, Robert Whittaker, and Max Holloway, a half unit on each of those. Just to say, you know, just to sprinkle, just some fun. We have two fights in our parlay right now, Shahrzad Magomedov and Magomed Ankalaev. Just making it clear for everybody. I understand it can be confusing. So those two fights combined pay, it's even money, plus 100 right now.
Yeah, let's just add one more in there. Renat Fakhretdinov against Carlos. Yeah, thank you. Leal Miranda. You know, Renat is a minus 215, minus 230 favorite. I think he wins the fight pretty easily.
All right, minus 230. Add that in. That's plus 190 for that three-fight parlay. That's pretty good.
Yeah, let's do it.
I like that. So Magomedov, Ankalaev, and you're not making this easy for me. Fakhretdinov, three-leg parlay pays plus 190, so make sure you lock that in FanDuel Sports. Get all of Jordan's picks, FatJackSports.com, three winning weekends in a row. FatJack went 13-3 in football last week, both college and pro. Sign up today. He's on with Chris Bleck and myself tonight. It's Thursday. We're recording this on a Thursday, so you can get that on the podcast if you missed it at the ESPN Chicago app. He's Jordan Sherwood. Follow him on Twitter at WoodOnESPN1000. I'm Adam Abdallah. Follow me on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah. And now Jordan can go get like a Halls or something.
Thank you. I don't know what happened. And just it talking happens. To you about this pizza and the sushi got
it happens,
going.
Man. It happens. We'll talk to you next week for another episode of the Unnamed MMA Podcast. Thanks for listening.